As you know, we're making our way through Paul's letters to the Philippians, hearing from the apostle about how our faith finds expression in many areas of our life. One area of life that garners an amazing amount of our time and energy is entertainment. Do the math. Think about how much time each day you spend watching TV, listening to your playlist or the radio, surfing the net, watching videos, reading magazines, playing video games, and so on. For almost all of us, it adds up to hours each day. Then multiply those hours by 7 days a week and 52 weeks a year, and you begin to see how much time and energy we give to entertaining ourselves. There was an era when conscientious Christians shunned popular entertainment. Some of you are old enough to remember when going to the movies was a no-no for some Christians. However, well-meaning, their efforts were wrong-headed. That's because entertainment per se, and the enjoyment it brings, is not opposed to Christian living. Instead of forbidding entertainment altogether, we're going to ask ourselves this morning, what would it look like to have this part of my life come under the review and direction of the central commitments in my life, namely, my faith in Jesus Christ? That's our question this morning. And to direct our thoughts, we'll be turning to Paul's letter to the Philippians. And then to help us think it through, we're going to welcome a couple of guests. But first, our reading from Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Listen to God's holy word. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, Dr. Paul. I've come for my annual physical.
Great. It's good to see you, Mr. Christian. The focal point of your physical this time will be a bit different than usual. Today, we're going to focus on your mind. Of course, your mind is not unrelated to your body and spirit. They all affect each other. But we'll concentrate on your mind.
Well, that's fine with me. I'm just happy to miss out on the bending over part of the physical.
Well, we're still going to be doing some probing, just of a different sort. So tell me, Mr. Christian, how do you take care of your mind?
I didn't know it needed taking care of. It just sort of gets along.
I mean, what do you feed it? How do you exercise your mind?
I read the paper. I surf the net a good bit, watch Fox News and ESPN, lots of sports. And I really like some of those reality shows.
Sounds like you pretty much just let it happen.
Well, I guess so. Is something wrong with that?
Let me put it this way. Think back to when your son Scott was five. What if you had let Scott plan his own menu? What do you think he would have eaten?
Well, I guess he would have eaten a lot of ice cream. He gets that from his dad. And a whole lot in probably some hot dogs and chips with Cocoa Puffs for breakfast.
That's right. The default menu of a five-year-old boy. And if left to himself, what would he have done with his time?
Without any direction, probably sleep a lot, play video games, watch TV till all hours of the night, and become a big-time couch potato.
That's right. And that's not just five-year-olds who tend to become couch potatoes. That's the default mode for just about anyone. And what's true for the body is true for the spirit and mind as well. If you don't have a plan for diet and exercise of your mind, you will become a mental couch potato.
Not a pretty picture.
That's right. That's why we need to have a plan for the care of our minds. Good care of your mind doesn't just happen. no more than a good diet just happens. You have to have a plan. So I'm going to prescribe for you the same thing I prescribed for the Philippians ages ago. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
I'm not catching where you're going with this.
Well, you're not alone in that. There are a lot of Christians who don't have a plan, who just let their minds drift along the endless avenues of entertainment that are constantly available to you modern-day people. And look at the result. Mental flab. They may be perfectly sincere in saying they want to serve the Lord, but they're mentally unable to do so in any significant way because their minds simply are not in good enough shape to serve the Lord well. But I want you to understand it doesn't have to be that way for you if you give some attention to that prescription I gave the Philippians ages ago.
Tell me more. What am I supposed to do with this prescription?
Well, let's stick with the diet idea for a moment. Think of a diet for your mind. What do you think should be the central component of such a diet?
Well, I have a sneaking suspicion it's not keeping up with the Kardashians.
You're right. The central component actually is to be the Scripture. And the Bible is all of those things I said your mind needs. It's true, honorable, just, pure, and so on. It tells about Jesus. It should be the staple of your daily mental diet. And you can find your own pattern of studying the Scripture. Just like some folks like their meat fried or baked or broiled, so it is with the Scripture. Some read big chunks straight through. Others read here and there. Others use a guide. Others memorize. Others meditate. Most use some combination of all of those. There are a lot of ways to feast on God's Word. You just need to find a pattern that fits your tastes and get with it.
I can do that. I'll just blow the dust off my good old King James.
It's well to dust your Bible. That is true. And I do know some people who believe that the King James was written by me. But I have to tell you, I've looked at it and it's Greek to me. You'll likely do better with a translation closer to your own modern language.
Okay, I'll add a Bible to my shopping list.
Good. But we also need to talk about what else you're feeding your mind. I believe you mentioned the paper, surfing the net, and TV. Think again about your diet. If you take in essential protein but don't give any attention to what else you eat, you can undo the good effects of the protein. If the only other thing you get besides meat is Twinkies, well, you catch my drift here. The body can only tolerate so much junk, and it's the same way with the mind. Some of the junk that people put in their minds is downright poison. Hateful, cynical stuff, pornography, degrading gossip, and so on. Don't ever fill your mind with the likes of that.
Simple enough.
And as for the other fare you feed your mind, let me put it this way. You only have so much time and so much brain. Nothing personal. So what are you going to put into that little brain of yours? There are so many fine books and educational programs and DVDs and recordings. You could make some choices about how you're going to sharpen your mind in ways that match your desire to serve God.
How so?
Well, tell you what. Add up in your mind the hours each day and then for each week that you spend on those entertainments, surfing the net, watching TV, listening to talk radio, reading throwaway stuff, and then decide how much of that time you would like to use more productively. For example, you could spend 2 hours a day on various forms of entertainment, or you could still take that 2 hours but spend half of that time, an hour of a day, reading a good book or checking out some sort of Christian DVD and so on. It's really a simple thing. But think what that amounts to over time. In a week, you'd have 5 or 6 hours. In a month, let's say 25 hours or so, which is 25 hours more of Christian teaching and encouragement than you have now. Can you see how your mind can benefit from this?
Well, that doesn't sound too hard. And I could still keep up with the Redskins.
The what?
You know, the Redskins, the football team. Does this mean God is not interested in the Redskins?
Actually, I believe God follows the Saints. But fine, you follow the Redskins. My prescription for your mind doesn't mean that everything has to be all business all the time. You can still have lots of fun and diversions and entertainment. It's more a matter of proportions. And let me give you another idea for nourishing your mind. Not all Christian writing is really worth much time and effort. You would do well to pick some of the best and focus on them, and there are plenty of excellent choices.
Like what?
Well, some writers worthy of the good reviews they get these days are C.S. Lewis and Catherine Marshall, Ann Voskamp, Richard Foster, Francis Chan, John Eldridge, Philip Yancey. And if you're up for something a little more chewy, you might try Dallas Willard or G.K. Chesterton, Eugene Peterson, or Tim Keller. And, of course, a Presbyterian like you might do well to check out your own forebear in the faith, John Calvin. Your pastors can help you find some good books to read that are worth your time. And if you're not a reader, there are a lot of fine resources on video or in podcasts. You can use those podcasts during your drive time in the car. You see where I'm going with this?
Not really.
Well, it's like I told the Philippians. Think about these things. When you put good information into your mind, it builds you up. And soon you're growing in your ability to discern, and your mind is not so flabby as it was, and your understanding of the faith is growing, all of which helps you to serve the Lord to the best of your ability. Now, let me go one more direction with this. This has to do with how you pray.
Oh, I could always use some help there.
Well, it's frustrating to me to see how some of you modern-day Christians have turned to things like Hinduism for meditation techniques, the excuse being that the Christian tradition has nothing to offer on meditation. Not so. The same prescription I gave to the Philippians is the basis for Christian meditation.
I'm not even sure I know what meditation is.
Well, it is not sitting in a strange position and humming. Meditation is a mode of prayer in which the mind is stilled and prepared for conversation with God. We do it like I told the Philippians. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. In other words, you can prepare your mind for prayer by meditating on what is excellent. Try starting your prayer with some meditation on a scripture verse or a song or a hymn or an artwork. Work through it slowly. If it's a scripture verse, repeat it over and over, pondering on each of the important words. If it's an artwork, you can behold its details and let it sink into your mind. Let it bring rest to your mind.
I think I could do that. But it seems like I can't keep my mind on my prayers for more than a minute at a time. I start out talking to God, and before you know it, my mind has drifted off to how the lawn needs mowing, or to something my boss said at work, or whatever. And if I try listening to God in prayer, it's even worse. My mind goes into pinball mode, bouncing all over the place.
Well, it's no huge mystery that your mind would be bouncing from one thing to the next. I mean, look what you've been putting in your mind. You modern-day folks have some major sensory overload carried in your hand. And it's no wonder that with all of this surfing, the web, and constant music, and frantic barrage of images on TV and elsewhere, your mind can get as jumpy as a chihuahua on caffeine. So if you're ever going to go deeper in prayer, you're going to have to learn how to let your mind come to rest. And when you take my Philippian prescription and focus in meditation on what is excellent, then God can use that meditation like a tool to temper your thinking and to focus your mind and to enable you to hear. It's the best way I know of to prepare for deeper prayer.
Oh, that sounds good. I know my prayer life could sure use a boost. I'll give this meditation a try. And maybe I can cool it a bit with the sensory overload.
That's right. You can at least put it in your pocket. One more thing. Let's talk about motivation. How do you care for your mind? It's a lot like how you care for your body. The only way it's going to happen is if you're motivated. And you know yourself how many diet books and exercise machines lie unused. A big part of the problem for that is motivation.
Yeah, that and second helpings.
Well, try this for motivation. The peace of God will be with you. That's the guarantee I gave the Philippians. It comes with my prescription to think on these excellent things. When I look at your society, I see a lot of frazzled, stressed out, beat down people. And I see a lot of people not living up to their potential. And that includes Christian people. I see a lot of Christian people who are missing out on God's peace. His peace is there. It comes as a gift. But it has to be appropriated.
And this is how I receive it? Simply thinking on these things?
Well, that's a big part of it. God loves you. He wants you to know that. He gives peace as a gift, and He wants you to receive that gift. He wants your mind to be built up in Him. Think about that. It's going to take some planning and adjustment in how you use your time. In your society, entertainment pretty much just happens. It's all around you. But if you're going to claim some of that entertainment time and energy for your Christian purposes, then you're going to have to make a plan and do it.
I think I'm ready.
Well, that's good. Now, unless you want to hang around and bend over for more exam, then you're free to go and go for it. God will be glorified all the more in your life and mind.
Thank you, Dr. Paul and Mr. Christian, for giving us that important lesson in a humorous and engaging way, but truth spoken nonetheless. Let us pray together. Almighty God, help us to take this truth to heart. Lord, that we would look to you and focus on you and things of you, that we would focus on whatever is true and honorable, just, pure, pleasing, and commendable. Things that are worthy of praise. Jesus, we want to fill our mind and fill our entertainment diet with good things. We want to grow in the knowledge of you and the love of you that we may grow in obedience. God, we want to be used to the fullness of our potential. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us the discipline, give us the desire to live into these things. In Jesus' name, amen.